Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Digital Afterlife podcast brought to you by The Digital Beyond. I'm your host, Evan Carroll. Today we have for you another in our series of interviews from Digital Death Day, this time with Daza Greenwood. Daza was previously a government attorney and lecturer and researcher on digital identity at the MIT Media Lab. He is presently working as the executive director of the eCitizen Foundation. We sat down and chatted with Daza about his take on digital preservation and also his impressions of Digital Death Day. I hope you enjoyed the program. Hi, Evan Carroll here with The Digital Beyond, and I'm at Digital Death Day. And there's a lot of ambient noise in the background, but we're going to try to forget about that and keep going. But I'm here with Daza Greenwood. He is the executive director of the eCitizen Foundation. And we're here, like I said, we're here at Digital Death Day, and we were just in a very interesting discussion where we talked about the idea of preserving all of your data for an indefinite amount of time. So would you start by telling me a bit about what the eCitizen Foundation does?
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Evan. It's good to be here with you. And we were just, so first of all, eCitizen Foundation is a nonprofit that exists to work with public and the private sector to architect, design, help deploy information architectures for really the benefit of ordinary people, regular e-citizens, citizens of the world who are now doing their everyday things in cyberspace increasingly. Their government e-government, their commerce is e-commerce, their learning is e-learning, and so on down the line. Their health is increasingly really happening through information systems with electronic medical records and online diagnostics and electronic patient identities that are giving consents. And so part of our interest here is, as we talk with so many stakeholders about digital identity of citizens and the privacy and personalization and the rights and responsibilities around that, a big missing piece is the identity transition of death of those citizens, the inevitable life cycle event when the citizen dies and the identity, the digital identities, the digital assets, we're calling them here, their stuff in cyberspace, continues in some way. There's been some state change that is not yet reflected or supported in really in our systems designs, in our services, in our law, in our business models, even in our thinking to any great extent. So we feel there's a missing piece, and we're here to become more educated and to help engage in the dialogues and then to vector some of that thinking back into the policy making and the technology making circles that we participate in when we talk about the identity and the digital life of these citizens. You know.
Very good. It's fascinating work. To connect back to a session we were just in, we were discussing how there's one perspective that says we should keep all the data we create and perhaps leave that to a future generation to sort through and make value out of, versus another perspective where it's actually really good to delete things and to actually curate your own identity. What's your take on that?
My take is yes, that's true. Both of those things, although seemingly maybe cosmetically on the surface contradictory, are both important principles and somehow must be accommodated in the information architectures of the future that are emerging now. And we need to do some more careful design work to make sure that we're accommodating adequately these somewhat competing goals. We know that privacy is important during life, and you know it's no less important after death. In some ways, it could be all the more of a cruel twist, almost a desecration of the person's identity to have some of the data, you know, disclosed or taken out of context or used in an abusive way after death than it would be even during their life, when there's a because for you know, almost kind of a sociological or spiritual, even religious reasons. We think that that what you need to have really is a way to create and preserve and harvest the vast amounts of data that we're creating in all of our appliances and transportation and all the activities of our life in a way that is that preserves people's privacy and security. And there's ways to do that. And also there has to be an additional personal layer under the more narrow ownership and control of individual people, individual e-citizens, where they can, in a curated way, select just those artifacts that are important within a constellation of meaning and a suite of data and an identity, if you will, and pass that forward almost like a family album or a deliberate persona, perhaps, that they're constructing and projecting during their life and, frankly, after that as well. And now, there's people that have thought long and hard about how to double blind data, how to disaggregate personally identifiable information from, you know, maybe population trends of, you know, 4% of this population ate cheese sandwich on Wednesday, for an example that we were talking about. And maybe, you know, individually that might either be irrelevant and you wouldn't curate it, and or on the other side of the spectrum, maybe it would be so relevant and so sensitive because of the whatever religious taboo against eating cheese with your meat that day or something that you would never want it recorded and attached to your name. And yet, societally, from a kind of anthropological perspective, you know, we may want to preserve that data. In fact, I would say that we certainly would want to preserve all the data, and we would want to allow for curated, highly, very private and sensitive ways to correlate it to individual citizens. How we square that circle, how we balance that on that tightrope, is the national dialogue that we want to help spark and make sure can emerge so that we can intelligently, deliberately design the information architectures of our civilization that will express that balance in a just and a fair way.
Absolutely. We sort of arrived at the notion in this session that Daz is reflecting on is that that value is both temporal and situational. So it depends upon what type of information you're seeking, in the anthropological example you gave, and then temporal, so what is of value to me today may not be valuable to someone in the future, but maybe even more valuable to someone in the future. And it's also important, at least in a conversation I had after the session, that what I see as valuable today is valuable in and of itself. So there's a sense of meta value that we're establishing here, which is fascinating. So one final question. We're about halfway through the Digital Death Day workshop here. What would you say your biggest takeaway is so far?
Well, I think the major thing I've seen and acknowledged is a validation that what we've been talking about in the eCitizen Foundation and the questions that we've been increasingly being asked about the importance and the, you know, the questions around the death of people and what that means for their civic ID and their digital identity, we've really, I think, had validation that these are timely questions, that there's a respectful and kind of professionally appropriate manner to discuss them, that the questions arise across different disciplines. We've seen people from many different disciplines here, and that the approach in the little corner of the world that eCitizen occupies, which is a design and architectural approach according to some of the softer types of requirements that come from societal or kind of legal premises, is relevant in this area. So it's really, I think, validated our interest in the area. And the second thing is, in a very practical way, it's created value. So some of the companies that provide services in this area have indicated that they would like to come and participate in a future event in Washington, D.C. that eCitizen would be convening, where we talk from a policy and a more of a legal perspective about some of the types of reforms and maybe some pilot projects and some potential tweaks to standards that may be necessary as we continue the dialogue. So we've got, I think, validation, and we were able to meet birds of a feather who want to work together, and I would call it a very good start on this end. It's a new beginning.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right. There was a great gathering of different perspectives here today, and a gathering that I want to see continue in the future because this is a very important conversation. Well, thank you for taking the time to join me and our listeners at The Digital Beyond, and we look forward to speaking with you in the future.
It was a pleasure, and we'll be sure to start pointing to your blog.
Well, very good. Thank you.
Great.
I hope you enjoyed today's Digital Afterlife podcast interview with Daza Greenwood. You can, of course, look for more Digital Afterlife podcast editions, as well as our in-depth articles about the budding digital afterlife industry at our website, thedigitalbeyond.com.